Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, first pick I got, Mike.
WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, we got Norbert. You guys can have the other guy.
Oh, man, we're stuck with the new guy.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Tiny, you play center, right? And you, what's your name again?
Josh Allen.
All right, Tim, I want you to play line, all right?
I'm pretty good quarterback, though.
Yeah, maybe next down, okay? All right? Okay.
Want to talk to Nate Geary?
Something cool, Cheryl.
Josh Allen. Firing deep down near the end zone, looking for Diggs. He's got it. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! There's Stephon Diggs, a 35-yard hookup with Josh Allen. Touchdown, Bill.
You on our team? Woo! We can win it all.
Sooner or later. Sooner or later.
Break the ice with someone nice. It'll make you feel dynamite.
Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Sports Radio 550.
This is special playoff edition of Sports Talk Saturday and brought to you, of course, by Topps Friendly Markets. Best game day deals in town by Taco Bell. Get your cravings under control with nacho fries at participating Taco Bell locations and by Catalyst Fitness. Activate your life all day. Bills all day on WGR Sports Radio 550. West Hur Hotline time with Michael Giardi of NFL Network, who joins the program now. First and foremost, good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for making time for us here on this beautiful AFC Championship weekend.
Yeah, pretty excited about it. Let's fast forward. Let's get to the games.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir here. You know, in Buffalo, it's cold out. It's pretty cold in Missouri too, but it's cold in Buffalo. There's snow on the ground, and people either have chicken wings or football, and there's only so many chicken wings we can eat before this game, Mike.
No, I totally get it. And look, you guys have waited so long in Buffalo to get back to this point that I got to imagine that the weight is killing you.
It's certainly killing us a little bit, but I'll say this. The weight in these types of situations for the last 2 weeks, anyways, they've been worth it. The Bills hadn't had to wait very long, though. Two Saturday matchups in their first two rounds of the playoffs, getting their first Sunday matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow night. And, Michael, where I wanted to start with you, I was kind of half kidding, but when you look at the matchups, not only in the AFC but the NFC, if you're Roger Goodell in a year where TV money has become really important, margin for error has been even smaller for these teams and these broadcasts, I mean, could you have picked two better matchups with, you know, right now I was looking at some statistics about EPA and these quarterbacks, and these are the best group of four quarterbacks in terms of EPA per play in the entire of the last 20 years in the conference round. So from a quarterback perspective, from offense, I don't think Roger Goodell could have picked a better four teams to represent each conference.
Yeah, it's about the sexiest matchups they could have gotten, right? I mean, the way Josh has played this year and elevated his game. And, you know, at times this season you say, boy, that kind of reminds me of the quarterback in Kansas City, the way he made that throw and the way he managed to duck out of the pocket there and then throw crossbody, you know, halfway down the field on the other side. Yeah, I think that there's no question that the matchup in the East, the AFC, is tremendous in the regards of two young quarterbacks. You know, Mahomes is already considered the best in the league, and Josh is certainly, you know, well on his way to making that an argument. And then, you know, in the NFC, you get the two old guys who are still playing at an incredibly high level. And, you know, they're both first ballot Hall of Famers, no doubt, you know, just sort of drop the mic type stuff when it comes to their time to get into the Hall of Fame. So it really is a perfect weekend, or at least shaping up to be a perfect weekend for the NFL.
And, you know, it's our job to figure out storylines, to find them where we can. And the fact that both of these teams faced off in week six, interesting enough, right? But the fact that, you know, you have Tampa Bay, who absolutely dominates 38-10 the Green Bay Packers. A little bit different of a situation here in Buffalo in week six, 26-17, two-score game. It felt close throughout. But, you know, how much do you believe these teams are thinking about those week six matchups. And, you know, I think if you're the rest of the league and you're taking anything from those earlier games this season, like, are you doing that and saying maybe that's not a great idea?
I don't think you want to. I mean, obviously you're gonna go back and look at it. You're gonna go back and look at maybe some of the things that the opposition did to try to exploit you and had success exploiting you with. But I think if you're like, just take the Bills for instance. I mean, obviously they played their safeties, you know, back to the moon in that game. They weren't going to get beat over the top, and the Chiefs said, "All right, fine, we'll just keep running the ball." And they obviously ran the ball with great success in that game. Now, will the Bills take a similar approach? We don't want to get beat by the big play. I would think they're probably going to try to maintain that. You want to make them drive the football on you. However, I think that they've improved in the front seven. They're getting better play. And now maybe it's like, okay, well, if you want to try that again, we feel like we're much more equipped to handle what you bring in the run game than we were the last time. So I don't think you can get caught up. It was just so long ago. I mean, like I said, you definitely have to look at it because it would be foolish not to, but I mean, that's 3 months ago. These teams are completely different, I think, at this point in the year.
And, you know, funny enough, too, Michael, I think about the Bills matchup and their defensive game plan. I love the point about the safeties. And it's sort of played right into the hands of, well, we don't want Patrick Mahomes to beat us, so we'll let you run the football. And the Chiefs had their most rushing attempts all year in that Week 6 matchup against the Bills. This time around, though, I think there's a different level of confidence the Bills defense is playing with, especially after their performance in the divisional round against the Ravens. And I do think that the Bills offensively are in a different place as well. I think if both offensive coordinators and coaches in this game had it their way, they probably wouldn't do very much running. But what if the weather forces the hand of these coordinators? Who do you think that plays in the hands of better?
I think that actually plays into the hands of Kansas City. I just think there's a little bit more there in their run game, or at least they've shown more in their run game this year than Buffalo. And maybe the Bills had something going, but then the Moss injury, I think, throws that off a little bit and puts a little bit more of the onus on Singletary. And I'm not sure that he's at the point where that's his forte, or that he can handle that sort of load. I would say, to me, one of the things that I look at from a Bills perspective is I think you want to control the clock against Kansas City, and I think you can still do that by throwing the ball. It's just the short stuff, and that's why I think someone like Cole Beasley and maybe Dawson Knox are huge in this game. And obviously Beasley was quiet that last week, and you know he's dealing with the knee, and I know he's off the injury report, but let's be real. There's something going on there, obviously, and it's you know probably going to be something they have to address in the off season in terms of getting it cleaned up. But they need, I think, between those two guys at least, the two I mentioned, Beasley and Knox, I think they need 10, 12, 14 catches. And I want the short control stuff. You know, if Beasley puts up a stat line that says 8 for 80, then I think that's a pretty successful day because, again, moving the sticks, controlling the clock. I go back to the 2018 AFC Championship game in Kansas City between the Patriots and the Chiefs. And if you look at time of possession in that game and how the Patriots controlled the clock, and it still got crazy dicey at the end of the game. Mahomes, I think they scored 3 touchdowns in like a span of 5 minutes late in the game to force overtime. But they controlled the clock. They kept Mahomes off the field. They made sure that they didn't get beat over the top for 3 quarters, and that's the problem with the Chiefs is that they have the ability to strike, and you can hold them down and hold them down and hold them down, and then all of a sudden, boom, there goes you know Hill over the top or Kelsey over the top. But I think you're trying to play keep away. I mean, you're trying to score points, but you're also trying to play keep away and limit the opportunities that Mahomes has to work his magic.
NFL Network's Michael Giardi here on the Wester Hotline. Michael, one of the things I also kind of want to dive in with you is when you consider the successes and failures of both of these teams this year, very little failure. I mean, obviously with Kansas City 14 wins, the Bills 13 wins. You know, I continue to look at this game and considering that the two teams are only their only difference is one loss, and the Bills more or less could have potentially the same record if it's not for you know that Hail Mary play in Arizona, and they're a team that's won their last 12 games without that. And I look at, and I know a lot of people have brought this point up about the points point differential and the close games Kansas City has been playing and the not so close games the Buffalo Bills played, particularly over the last since week 10, the Bills had a plus 134 point differential, which was tops in the league by a lot. Do you put any weight into that? I mean, can you really at this point in the season put any weight into style points or the way these teams won towards the end of the year? Or does all of that just get thrown out the window at this point?
I put a little into it in the sense that I think if you're on the outside and you're not giving Buffalo a chance and you say, oh, it's Mahomes, it's the Chiefs, they won the Super Bowl last year, they're destined to win the Super Bowl again this year, you're being foolish because I think the Bills have played better football over the last 8 weeks than the Kansas City Chiefs have. However, it is that Mahomes factor, and they've been there and done that before. You know, this is their third straight AFC title game. As I mentioned, they just won a Super Bowl, and there is, to me, it has a little bit of an NBA feel to it, right? Like, you know what, the regular season, you know, we're a little bit bored, and oh, it's fourth quarter, it's money time, let's go, let's win the game, and they win those games, and I think that's, have they put together four quarters consistently this season? No, they haven't, but they're one of the rare teams that has the ability to strike quickly and kind of flip that switch. And we always say that's a dangerous place to be, right? You don't want to be a team that relies on that, but I think we've seen over the last 2.5-3 years that if anybody's capable of it, it's that team.
You know, I've been kind of all week and even last week when I thought about, you know, the Bills and potentially playing the Kansas City Chiefs in this game is, you know, trying to figure out a recipe. Like, what is a good recipe? Because I think at the end of the day, Michael, I know we'll agree with this. I don't think there's any true recipe to stop Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. There are just too many, and I said this yesterday, and the variance of the type of players that they bring to the table, the different styles that they bring with Kelce compared to Hill, they all bring a little something different, a different flavor to the dish. And I think with the Bills, they really, although, you know, the receivers win in different ways, they rely heavily on the receiver position, where I think the Chiefs do a really good job. They mix in the tight end with the wide receiver. So there's some variance there. But can you think of a decent recipe that slows this Chiefs offense down just a little bit other than themselves getting in their own way?
I mean, look, I don't think you can afford to sit in anything, because I think Pat is so smart that, you know, if you're going to continue to play the same coverage over and over again, you know, if he's playing patient football, he'll just take what you're giving him and they'll rip you apart with the run after catch stuff, because so many of those guys that they have on that team are really good once they have the ball in their hands. I just look at it again from the Buffalo standpoint and from an offensive standpoint of they have to play. Not only do I think they have to control the clock, but I think they have to play mistake-free football. They can't afford to give extra possessions with turnovers. You can't miss field goals in those opportunities. You have to control the clock and play flawless football. Don't put the ball on the ground. You know, keep an eye out for 32. You got to watch out for the honey badger, because he lurks all over the place. He's a guy that if you're Josh Allen, you really have to pay attention to, because he's someone who's capable of making a game-changing play. So to me, I just think it really comes down to the Bills just playing as clean as football as possible.
Yeah, Michael, last thing for you. You know, I'm not going to ask you to pick this game or give me your ultimate score by the end of this. But I do want to know I recognize that, you know, kind of across the board, most people are, I think the betting favorite, the money, Vegas, everyone's sort of looking at this game and saying, yeah, this looks like Kansas City, but I've almost universally haven't seen a score prediction like more than one score, like more than one touchdown. Is that where you kind of sit? And maybe what do you think is the deciding factor in this game? Is it the playoff experience? This team is, you know, won a Super Bowl last year. This is the first time in 27 years that the Bills are playing in this game. Like, this is a young team. This is McDermott's first opportunity as a head coach. Like, do you think it's more so experience? Is that going to be the prevailing thing from this game, or is it just going to be that at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is just too good?
Yeah, I mean, I put it, I'm with everybody else. I think this is a one score game. I'd be shocked if, you know, maybe if there's a late score or something like that, but I would be shocked if it gets out of that range. I do. I look at how can you slow Mahomes, and Josh has made every step this year and has he's exceeded expectations, and can he continue to do that? Because, I mean, I believe this is who he is, and that this season is not a fluke. But now you have to just continue to maintain that level of play. And if he continues to play the way he does, and look, we saw him in the last game. He didn't run the ball that much. I would imagine that's going to be a little bit more of a factor, like it was against Indianapolis, than it was against Baltimore. So to me, it's quarterback play and it's playing clean football. If you can steal a possession or two from the Chiefs, whether it be strip sack from Jerry Hughes or something like that, or an interception, I think that plays huge into this game.
Yeah, I'm of the mind, Michael, that if the Kansas City Chiefs team that showed up against Atlanta in Week 16 is the team that shows up tomorrow night, I think the Bills can win that game. They're going to have to put up a game of their own. They're not going to be able to be the offense they were last week or even against Indianapolis at times. But I do think if that Kansas City Chiefs team we saw against Atlanta and struggle against that team shows up, I do think the Bills can pull off a win. I think there are scenarios here, Michael. But at the end of the day, I'm also of the mind that this is a tall task for the Bills.
It's a tall task, but I haven't loved the way the Chiefs are playing. I can't stress that enough. Like, I didn't think they played very well last week in beating Cleveland. And I think there's some question about how Cleveland handled that game, not only in the first half in terms of how they called the game in the first half, but then, of course, in the fourth quarter, electing to punt instead of keeping the ball, realizing this is money time and you can't give it back to Mahomes, or in that case, Chad Henne, but with that offense and the aggressiveness with which they play, you had to go for the throat then, and they didn't. I'm certain that they realized playing Buffalo that they can't play that way. And I'm certain that Sean McDermott, knowing Andy Reid as well as he does, understands that, like, when it's there in front of us, we have to go for it. We can't punt the ball back. We can't put the ball back in Mahomes' hands because special can happen with him.
You know, I would bet if either of us asked Coach Sean McDermott, he probably wouldn't give us the most straightforward answer on this, but asking him what his opinion is of how much he's changed philosophically as a play caller since his time under Reed to now, I wonder if there is, you know, fundamental changes in his scheme and his style of play, or just, you know, his ability to call plays with a totally different animal in Patrick Mahomes. But, I mean, he was there with Donovan McNabb, who was one of the best quarterbacks in all of football during that four-year, you know, NFC championship run that they had. I wonder if you ask the defensive, if you got him in a room with his buddies, what he might say about, you know, what it is now to defend Andy Reid and what it might have been like when he was defensive coordinator there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a difference just because the quarterback, and I mean, people are already putting him in the class of, like, he might be the greatest ever, which, you know, it's a little premature for that, but obviously the resume for the last 3 years is a pretty good start for him. So yeah, I would think that certainly changes how Andy calls the game and then how you have to defend it. And it was clear last week, even with Henne a quarterback, Andy looks at the skill position people he has too, and he says, I don't care that it's Chad Henne. Like, he can make the throw here, and I'm going to get it in Hill's hands, and he's going to make a play because he's a better athlete than what you got over there, and that's how we're going to operate.
Michael, appreciate it. Thanks so much, man, for being so generous with your time. Love your analysis as always, and we'll continue following your work here throughout the playoffs. Hopefully, you'll be covering and talking Bills for another week after this one. But we appreciate it, Michael. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Michael Giardi there of NFL Network joining us there on the Wester Hotline, helping me break things down between the Bills and Chiefs. Of course, you can hear tomorrow starting at 6:40. Coverage begins at 10.